This is the Anderson Pens Podcast, Episode 8, for Sunday, July 15th, 2012. This is Brian.
This is Lisa.
This is the Anderson Pens Radio Network. Welcome.
Thank you.
Every week you do that to me.
I know. It's part of my charm.
This week, I completed another long-term project. Some of you may recall a couple weeks ago, I was able to complete a Weedlick matchstick filler by finally finding the correct Weedlick and Simpson nib. Well, also last, I believe it was in Detroit last October, we purchased another pen from one of our favorite vendors, Sam Alardo. If you're into early fountain pens, overlays, eyedroppers, Sam has some of the nicest pens you'd ever want to see. He always brings a tray or two. He always brings them over to the table. He says, these aren't for sale, but I thought you'd like to see them.
Oh, and it makes Brian drool every time. Sam, that's just so cruel.
It is. He's a great guy. He's super smart. He knows what he's talking about. Well, we got this beautiful overlay that he attributed to Betzler and Wilson, but it was missing the nib, and it's really an unusual... It's a half overlay, an unusual pattern on the pen. You can kind of see it. It's kind of swirled.
That was on. Yep.
It's really an interesting pattern. So we got it anyway, and about 2 weeks ago, someone contacted me through our blog. Saw a post I had written about the Raleigh Pen Show saying I was looking for the nib. And he said he had this desirable missing nib, so I contacted him, and it turns out he actually had a complete pen with the Betzler nib in it. Well, from the conversation, it sounded like that it was the wrong nib in some other pen, and possibly the cap was wrong. So the deal was made, and now I have this super cool pen, and it's complete. Put the pen in, swap the pen out. But now the problem is the original pen was kind of super cool, too. And since it was a complete pen, I now have to find the proper nib for this pen.
So, wait. You buy a pen for the nib, and now you need to buy another pen for the nib for that pen. Oh, my.
That's correct.
Why don't you just buy a nib?
I was trying to. Well, here's the funny thing. The more I look at it, the more I think that the nib that came with the pen was a Betzler and Wilson number 3. And the more I think about it, I think I need a Betzler and Wilson number 2. Seems a little bit too big. But,
oh, no.
So maybe I'm still looking for another nib. But the other pen that I got that had the Betzler and Wilson nib in it is simply marked Davis Brothers on it.
Never heard of it.
Yeah. It's an eyedropper. It has this, you can't really see it, but it has this very cool chasing pattern. Really unusual, two gold-filled bands. And it's a long pen. It's 6 inches long capped. It's 7 inches long posted. It's quite a long pen. And the person that's the seller indicated that he had thought that maybe there was a connection between Davis Brothers and Betzler and Wilson. Maybe Betzler made it for Davis Brothers the chasing pattern was similar to those of Betzler. Well, the problem is there's very few Betzler and Wilson pens that show up in any of the pen books. Very few that you see in any of the shows. So it's really, really hard to determine if I actually bought a Betzler and Wilson pen and I just took the nib out of it, or if the pen that I put the Betzler nib in is actually a Betzler to begin with. So,
oh, no. That means you need to buy more.
I need to buy more. You heard it here first.
And say I was happy about it.
So for now, I'm keeping both until I can do some further research. If anybody has any information on Betzler and Wilson or Davis Brothers, I really would appreciate letting me know.
We know what the heck we have.
Right. If you have pictures or any information that you have about them, would be very cool to hear about. Also, last week, or actually this week, I received in the mail last week's little eBay surprise.
How is it a surprise if you bid?
Well, it was the one that I bid on and I just sort of forgot about. And then I got that notification that I won an auction.
Surprise.
Surprise. Well, it came in this huge box. It was over a foot long and 7 inches wide for this little dip pen.
Big points for packing.
Big points for, I mean, it was so overdone. It was almost ridiculous, but, and they didn't charge me an arm and a leg either, which was kind of nice.
Yes.
But, the pen, in case you didn't hear last week, is a Leroy Fairchild. It's a number 2 dip pen. It's marked both on the holder and on the nib. So, that scores points for, being well marked and, a pretty nice pen.
This one we know is actually a match.
this is actually a Fairchild.
You and your
Frankenpens. There was a little bit of a crimp on the nib and some evidence of perhaps some India or similar Higgins type ink on the end of the pen. I think it did an okay job getting that off, and the nib had a little bit of a crimp. We got that straightened out. So a delightful, the high quality dip pen for $20. At that price, I think I could see a couple more of these.
What? Thank goodness for the nib block.
Yep. It's really come in handy the last couple of weeks.
Yep. All right. Let's see. Now it's time for my favorite part, a little shout out to a couple of people in listener land. I just like to say shout out. Makes me feel like a radio announcer. First to our friend Julie and Dave and Caitlin as well, of course. It seems that we may have done them a disservice and infected them with the pen collecting bug. And it seems like these days a weekend is not complete with a pen-related visit from our friends. Julie wanted to stock up on some of the new ink samples to get her through the week and to help her make another ink decision. And so Monday's ink review is sort of dedicated or at least influenced by Julie. So look for that on the blog on Monday. Plus, we'll have another blog post this week about traveling with pens.
Cool.
But it's not the usual to fill or not to fill your pen while traveling kind of thing. So
well, should you fill your pen while traveling?
You should either leave it empty or have it completely full if you're going to fly.
There's a whole blog post right there.
No, yeah, but those are boring. So this one's different. Also, I received, or we received, a really lovely email from my cousin Sandy this past week. Sandy said she listened to the podcast to hear my voice, which kind of made me a little teary, and she was remembering our summers together. Now, Sandy is 6 months older than I am, and when we were kids, we were really close. She and her family lived 2 hours from us when I lived in upstate New York, and our moms would get together and farm out the kids. So I would spend a week with Sandy in Syracuse, and she would spend a week in Johnstown with us. And so the moms each got a break, and we had a blast. We were like, I don't know, like twins, but we were really close when we were young.
You were trouble, I'm sure.
We were good girls. We were good. We would swap some of my favorite memories are swapping Nancy Drew and Hardy Boys novels, which, you know, dates me right there. Sorry. And it was partly because of those trips that I developed my speed reading ability. We would leave Syracuse after dinner and I would try so hard to finish the Nancy Drew book that I had borrowed from Sandy before it got dark. So in less than 2 hours, I had to finish the whole book, and eventually I could do it. Our moms are also both accomplished seamstresses and would make matching outfits for the three girl cousins. Our cousin Elaine is 6 months younger than me. So the three moms would make matching outfits. And it's kind of cheesy now that, you know, we're 29 plus. But when we were young, it was adorable. a lot of our favorite pictures are of Sandy and I in matching outfits. For the record, my favorite is the cowgirl outfit, but that's another story.
I don't think I've seen this picture.
Sandy has it. So email
Sandy, if you're listening, brian@andersonpens.net.
I mean, with boots and the cowgirl vest, and yeah, it was cute. Or there's a picture of Sandy and I riding a tandem bike in Florida in matching outfits, of course. We did finally grow out of that, but at the time it was kind of cute. In the email, Sandy said she remembers our grandmother giving us fountain pens and that she was there for my the beginning of my love for fountain pens. And that she remembers spending most of the summer cleaning blue ink off our fingers.
do we know what kind of fountain pen that was?
She said it was cream colored.
I don't
remember. I'll have to ask my mom.
Is it a cartridge pen or?
I asked Sandy. I don't remember. But the summer I was 13, my parents got divorced and the family decided to send my younger brother Jeff and I to Florida to go visit grandma and grandpa for a month. And Sandy flew down to keep us, mostly me, company. And some of my fondest memories are of that summer with Sandy tormenting my poor little brother Jeff in the pool. My grandparents lived just a couple miles from the ocean and it was this gorgeous house, and it would overlook the St. Lucie River, and you could see the ocean in the distance on a clear day, and lots of great memories from that house, except the time my nose peeled 4 times when I got sunburned and I couldn't wear my glasses, but we won't go there. It was bad.
I think we just went there.
We did. Plus, Sandy read the ink review of the Pelikan Edelstein Mandarin ink that's on the blog. And in the review, I mentioned the Syracuse University Orangemen. Go SU. Yes, Sandy, you and Uncle Ed did greatly influence my love of that shade of orange. We would go to Syracuse for basketball games. I think my uncle got a pair of Syracuse U sweats 1 year for Christmas. The Syracuse colors are a bright royal blue and like electric orange. So it was memorable. We would all dress up in blue and orange. And so it's kind of funny, the memories that just an ink color can unlock. Oh, and Sandy, from both of us, tell Dean we want more pictures in kilts. And love to Allie. I wish we lived closer. I think we'd have a lot of fun. My brother Tom's kids got fountain pens from us a couple years ago when we met with them in Atlanta, and I bet Allie would have fun with inky fingers too. So,
yep, very cool.
Yep. What's up with eBay auctions since you mentioned your ginormous box?
Well, before we get into the top three highlights this week from eBay, I wanted to make note of a topic that appeared on FP Geeks this week, and which was also on Fountain Pen Board. There was a particular Korean seller that has been making Mandarin Dual Folds and Parker 51s from real parts and passing them off as original pens. He's had 3 Mandarin Dual Folds that he sold recently, and they've gone for a good sum of money, although less than they would if they were actual original, but still, I believe one of them was in excess of $900.
Wow.
They're reasonably good quality fakes, laser engraved barrels. They're pretty close, at least from the picture standpoint of looking on eBay. I think on Fountain Pen Board, there was one member who indicated that he had purchased one of the pens, and he said when he got it, it was so very close to the real Mandarin that he had, it was scary. So special thanks to David Nishimura of VintagePens.com and Dan at FP Geeks for trying to get the word out on this one. I guess as the old motto goes, if it seems too good to be true, it probably is. Just another reason to get to a pen show where you can see the pens in person. I realize not everyone can go, but if you can, there's no better place to examine high-end pens and to feel comfortable about making the purchase. I think it was last year after Columbus, I had purchased some pens off of eBay from a seller. And I, at the top of my head, I can't remember exactly where he was. He was overseas. And he was also selling Parker 51s. There was a Flighter in the bunch.
Yep.
A couple of nice green 51s with gold-filled caps. And it was a great picture. Paid for the pens, several hundred dollars, and never saw the pens. So just have to be careful with what you see on eBay.
Yep. Now, something to keep in mind, though, there's nothing wrong with a replica.
No.
As long as it's marked or offered for sale as such. Now, Carl Seidel does amazing things with old pen caps, barrels, and clips and turns them into retrofitted ballpoints or, I think, rollerballs as well. That's not really a replica. It's the actual pen body turned into something else. Really cool stuff, though. Chris Thompson makes replicas, and they are amazing. I mean, absolutely spectacular. Replica dual folds that are just gorgeous, but they're all marked as replica right on the barrel. Chris Hughes, I think he's up in Canada, also does some cool stuff with making a body and reusing clips and other parts from junker or donor pens. But again, those are not sold as original or non-replica. And like Brian said, if the price seems to be too good to be true on a quote mint dual fold, it might be. Definitely ask questions, like be specific. Is this genuine? I mean, if it's $500 for what appears to be a brand new mint in the box dual fold, ask, is this authentic? Is this a replica? Is this, you know, a Franken pen or not? If you do get stuck, work it out through PayPal if you can. Definitely do what you can if you feel that you've been deliberately misled.
Now, of course, it's not going to stop a scammer from lying to you and saying, oh yeah, it's original. But if you saw the pictures of these mandarins, they look like they were made yesterday, and they probably were. So you just have to be careful when you're dealing with things like that. Like I say, if you can get to a show, even if it's once per year, that's probably your best bet.
Absolutely. So you can see it, touch it, examine it with a loop, etc.
Yeah. So let's take a look at some auctions here.
Oh, I thought we were going to skip eBay.
No.
No.
No, I don't think so. let me just get this set up here. All right, now this first one.
It's a birthday present for Lisa.
It's always the pens that you don't bid on that you wish you did, because they always go for less than you think. This particular item here, let's go to the description here. It's just simply marked silver filigree eyedropper pen of unknown manufacturer. It's stamped sterling near the barrel cap joint, and the nib is marked warranted 14 carat number 3. But let's take a look at this. And this is really, really pretty good filigree work here. It's reminiscent of, I actually have an Aiken Lambert that has a similar pattern to this. Waterman made a similar pattern. But when you look at it a little bit closer, you can see where the filigree was cut, but it wasn't really wasn't polished out very well. But it's a really nice pattern. Let's take a look at some of the other pictures here. It's an eyedropper, of course. Sterling filigree is a little less common than, say, gold-filled filigrees you're going to see a lot. Still a nice-looking pen, even with the lack of...
That was a funky shot on top of the glass.
On top of the glass, yeah. they do try to get in, and then he's got it looks like a small glass too. He's got the cap balancing on top of the glass. But nice pen, and it would be a nice pen in someone's collection. This one would have been nicer to see in person. It's got, let's see if we can get a better close of, you can kind of see where there's a little cut right in the middle there, if you can see that. They didn't really polish it off. But the section's got some ribbing for a little bit of gripping there. So interesting pen. And it could have been made, could be an Aiken Lambert, but it doesn't have the nib. Unknown manufacturer, $167.50. Only 3 bids. So I still think someone got a deal on a sterling filigree. It's especially in that high relief pattern is a little bit more desirable for sure.
Pretty pen.
Moving on to number 2, since I'm interested in Edward Todd recently, I thought we'd take a look at this combo. Not much of a description here, but it has this very characteristic ring pattern that you'll see with Edward Todd pens.
That's pretty.
They made a number of combos. They're very, very common, both in modeled hard rubber and in this particular example, sterling. But what's interesting about this one is it's a ring top combo pen and pencil lever filler. It looks in okay condition. It has this Edward Todd New York nib on it. It's got a couple of dings here and there, right around the lever area. I think there was some on the cap. Yeah, there's a couple on the cap, but overall,
it's a cool pattern.
Yeah, it is a cool pattern. You see them come up every once in a while. I wouldn't call it rare by any stretch of the imagination. Maybe a little more uncommon in the ring top version, especially considering it's probably a fairly long pen. $140.50 in 6 bids on this one. So
it's only $70 a half. $70 for the pen, $70 for the pencil.
So if my limit's $100 per item, I could buy combos?
No.
No. All right.
Good try. Thanks for playing.
And let's take a look at something that's completely different here. Not even in the same category.
Awesome.
This is a security pen. And this is a giant model. Let's start with the main picture here.
Those are fun.
Yeah, security self. Look at the marbling on this. This modeling is just beautiful. Nice looking pen. And it has the original giant nib. So it says,
cool.
Giant on the nib. Giant security pen on the nib. This is really you're not going to find a pen like this very often. Scroll down through some of
that's
the pictures
pretty.
Here. Yeah, look at the top here. The swirling pattern on the top. I mean, that's pretty cool.
Oh, yeah. Looks like rings of a tree.
Yeah. And there's the filling mechanism there on the end. A little bit of a twist there. And the security part on the top. You take that off, you have these little wheels that you spin, and after you sign your name, you run this top part on the cap over your signature, and it makes perforations in the check. So you can't have somebody alter the amount.
That's very cool.
Yeah. Now, normally with a lot of these security pens, the mechanism is frozen and it doesn't move. I don't remember if this one said that it actually worked or not.
Beautiful pen.
Yeah, it is beautiful.
Gorgeous.
Just
look at the trim.
Yeah, the pattern on it alone is stunning. 6 inches long. Not much.
Fully working and ready to write.
Okay, so maybe that works. $537.77, 12 bids.
I think I paid less than that for my first car.
You might have. So it's just really a well-known seller of high 7,700 plus rating on the seller. So certainly seen this person before, but yeah, very cool. Very cool to see stuff like that. You know, in this case, you have really excellent pictures.
Good description.
Good description. Top rated seller. You can guarantee this is definitely an original pen. So that's
awesome.
That's eBay for the week.
I'm sure you'll find more this week.
I'm working on it. So let's move on to some modern, I guess, huh?
Cool.
We had a bit of a surprise this week.
Yay.
The Twisby Micartas came in.
Woohoo!
We hadn't expected to see these so soon, but we got a few each in both the clipless and clip versions. Those are the 803 and 805 models, if you're keeping track. And we here at Anderson Pens are a bit divided on how much we like it. I personally love the design, the clipless version in particular. Lisa, on the other hand, doesn't really care for it.
Not as much. I like the 540, the Diamond 540 better. It's a cool design. I think it's interesting and different, which is perhaps what Twisby needed so that they don't get pigeonholed into just
clear demo pens.
The clear demo.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. But when Dave and Julie were over here yesterday, it seemed like the unofficial vote is the men were in favor and the ladies not so much. I don't know if it's just too large for your hand.
A little bit.
You know, you maybe like brighter pens.
Julie and I both do, I think, yeah.
But either way, I think they're cool pens. We're excited to have some to offer.
Yep.
This is the this is a clipless version. You see, it's very, very simple. We anticipate they're going to sell well in DC, I think. So if you're considering purchase, you might want to do so soon. I think it's very classically Asian design.
Yeah.
And on these, they put a nice gold fill, number 6 size Bach nib on them.
Nice big nib.
Yeah. It's a good size pen.
Yep. Nicely made.
Yep. And it's very, very, very subtle design. Has the fuzzy threads, if you've heard about those.
which apparently most people think is a good thing.
Yeah. So. And after, and I know FB Geeks and there's some people on FPN mentioned that after some usage, the color of the pen and the cap may darken and get a bit of a patina from the oils in your hand. And so then they do change now. And each one is different. Here's the clip version. It's a little bit darker. This particular one is a little bit darker than the clipless. Yeah. But they're all unique. Each one is different. And, you know, people seem to have some real strong reactions to this model. They either love it or they hate it. And we've read a number of reviews on them and hopefully going to be adding one of these to my personal pen case soon. And most importantly, if you ever have an issue with Twisby, the great thing is just get in touch with Twisby. They have terrific customer service, and they'll do whatever they can to make whatever right.
Right?
Right.
So, right?
Right.
Right?
So, you know, you just need to ask. Don't be unhappy in silence or on the boards. Email Twisby and give them a chance to fix it. But I'm excited. They're cool-looking pens. But
maybe they're just not flashy enough for me. Maybe I'm just a flashy pen kind of person.
Yeah, they're brown. You know, people have, I don't know, people don't care much for brown. But it's an interesting material, the micarta. It's typically used in knife handles. But
very organic. It's really cool.
Yeah.
But I think it's maybe just a little too big for me.
Okay.
So let's see what else is new. We finally received confirmation that our long-awaited Rohrer and Klingner ink will be here next week. Very excited.
Awesome.
We'll have all the colors plus the Iron Gall ink and the anniversary ink. Very cool stuff. We also got in a really big Noodler's order, including the rollerball pens. These are really cool, in case you haven't seen them.
It's probably the only rollerball that you'll probably
allow
ever
me to use.
Yeah.
It's the convenience of a rollerball with fountain pen ink. Awesome.
A piston converter, too, I think.
Yep, with a converter. Plus the Noodler's Conrad pens, the newer of the Noodler's pens that have come out recently. Slightly smaller body. Now comes in a clear demo as well. So those are pretty funky. Let's see. We got in some more Twisby Diamond 540 pens. The clear with the 1.1 stubs are back in stock, as well as the 1.1 nib units themselves. These go fast. So if you're looking to get one, grab one while you can. I'm pretty sure that by the time we get back from DC, if not before, they'll be gone.
Yeah, they'll be gone for sure.
Yeah, hugely popular. Let's see. In paper news, this is really exciting for us. I have a meeting with a sales rep tomorrow morning to discuss placing some of our proper pads, note cards, and notepads in some high-end retail and art supply stores in Chicago, Milwaukee, and Indianapolis. So this could be a really big opportunity for us. Cross fingers.
Very cool.
Yep. We're also looking into a few select local stores here in the Appleton area as well. And let's see, we also have more ink coming in and a few other pen styles of brands we already carry, like Schaefer and Platinum. So stay tuned.
Very cool.
Yeah. What's going on your workbench? I see more boxes behind you still.
There's always boxes back there.
I know. But they move and they change, so I'm never sure what you're working on.
Let's see, this week, a good friend of ours, master craftsman,
Hi, Jeff.
Hi, Jeff. Yeah. he's been working on some tools for me. And one in particular was a tool for removing the blind cap of the Schaefer vacuum filler. Now, one variation of that, some of you are aware, has a little notch. And you have to hold, use a special tool or use something to hold that while you rotate the blind cap off. Otherwise, you can't fix the pen. I mean, that's the first part, really. So essentially, it's a notch screwdriver, and you have to bend it. And you have to harden the screwdriver after you cut it, you slit it. To make sure it stays strong, because it's a very small small area that you have to fit it in. Well, he dropped off the finished product to me earlier this week, and it was successful in removing the first pen's blind cap.
And we were very excited.
Yes, very excited. And so, of course, I have a whole tray of Schaefer vac fillers that I want to work on. And I went on to the second one, and on the second one, the tool broke. So,
epic fail.
It's back to the drawing board. We're going to have to come up with maybe a harder material than just a screwdriver. So, he's also working on a couple of more projects for me, but we'll save those for later discussion. Once I see the prototypes, they're going to be pretty cool.
Yeah. So it does amazing work.
Yeah, whenever you know, if you need a tool for something, and in pen repair, it's not always a tool available. If you don't have an original tool, which are hard to find, and I guess my general rule is if there's a tool you need and there was one that was actually made for it, you're looking at $200, $250, $300.
Easy.
So if you can't find one, then the next thing you have to do is you have to make one. So.
Not as easy as it sounds.
It's not. It's not even for something as simple as a notched screwdriver. You know, so we'll see what happens this next week. On the bench this week, we've got the usual assortment of Astrobrooks, and a snorkel came in. What I found interesting was that the snorkel owner had the foresight to not only send the pen to be fixed, but another snorkel parts pen that he had lying around in the event I needed something, so I could cannibalize that one. To save the other one. Well, sure enough, as I'm putting the pen together, I noticed there's a crack in the blind cap. And I hadn't seen this during the initial inspection. Cracks on snorkels can be really hard to spot. They can be anywhere, and any small crack, the pen just won't fill. So once you know it, I needed a black pen, and the parts pen that he had sent along was gray. So you can't use that. I mean, I guess you could. It would be interesting. Yeah. But thankfully, I had a second black snorkel parts pen that was just sitting on the desk.
That's why you keep everything on the desk.
Okay.
So you don't have to dig for it.
Maybe it was about two slaughter boxes deep, but I knew it was there. And sure enough, looks like the snorkel is going to be saved. So.
Yay.
That was about it for the workbench. Still working on getting a couple things back together and back to their owners. So,
cool.
How about some Astrobrook discussion this week? Some big things coming up?
Well, we should mention that we're starting to make some headway on the upcoming Astrobrook book. We've talked about it for years, gotten some inspiration last year about this time. But something always seems to get in the way of us making serious headway. So now we're moving full steam ahead. Working a little bit each week to finish it up. No definitive release date yet. Sorry to say it, but it'll get done when it gets done. It's amazing, though, what an hour slotted into the calendar will do for you. We've got a meeting lined up with a publisher next month, and hopefully we'll have something to show him and start to work on getting quotes and actually a commitment to publish this baby. Yep. We also have a special person lined up for the foreword. So that's going to be really, really fun.
Yeah, it's going to be great. Yeah. So, yeah, it'll. It's tough to say when we're going to get done, but there's a lot of work to be done on this. And
somebody's a perfectionist, so it has to be.
My motto is, do it once, do it right. So yep. That's
the plan.
Let's do it. Let's do it as good a job as we can. And I know every author that you talk to, the first thing they say is, no matter how good a job you do or how thorough you are, the moment it comes out, someone says, oh, hey, you know, you missed this on page 34, right. Or hey, I've got this pen that you don't talk about.
We're bracing ourselves for the criticism, but
yeah, it'll be fine. And I think the book is going to be well worth the wait.
Beautiful.
Hardcover book. And maybe we're talking about maybe a special edition, possibly.
Yep. We'll see what we can do.
Anyway, so that's it for the Esther Book Corner this week. I guess we'll save questions for next week.
Yeah.
So, pen shows, finally.
Miami next weekend, the 19th through the 22nd. Next year, Bert, we will be there.
Yep.
We're working on that.
That'll be fun. Maybe it'll be cooler there than it is here.
Maybe. Well, at least they'll have air conditioning. And a pool.
Oh, man. So, yeah. Let's hear some reports back this next week. Actually, be coming up starting in a couple days, I'd imagine we'd be hearing some stories. So
people will start getting in probably Wednesday or Thursday. Mm-hmm. You know, what an awesome place to take a little bit of an extended long weekend vacation to.
Yep.
So. Let's see, D.C. next for us, August 9th through the 12th. After that, Dallas in September, then hopefully Detroit. But we haven't heard anything about Detroit yet. Then, of course, Columbus. I just sent an email to Terry Mahorder, the organizer of Columbus, requesting four tables for Columbus. So we are going to need somebody to help us at that show as well. Now comes the problem. I know that the Beiler brothers were there last year in Columbus, their first time there, and they loved it. But now we have a dilemma. Do we ask Tim to help us out in Columbus, since he'll be trained from working with us in D.C., or do we ask Brother Mike Beiler to help us to share the love and the fun? I don't know what to do.
Well, we can trade them off one tag day team and them,
like a relay race. I don't know how that's going to work.
Tim on Friday, Mike on Saturday.
Mike may duke it out with Tim and just say, "Look, you got to go to DC. This is mine." I mean, I don't know.
We're going
to
get attention at the table, but maybe in the
Beiler brothers bashing it out. I don't know. They're awesome, awesome guys. Both of them know their stuff. And just a whole lot of fun.
Yeah.
So,
very good. Well, hopefully next week we can. This time we'll be talking about Miami. So,
awesome.
Anything else this week?
A little PCA news.
Ooh, awesome.
Plug that in. The summer pennant will be going to press this coming week, I believe. So, in about 2 weeks or so, you should start watching your mailboxes for the new issue. Going to be really cool. Lots of great pictures. Some really interesting articles.
Okay.
As president, I have a new executive assistant who has been a huge help, and we are finally back on track with new member packets. I just prepped about 100 of them. So if you are a new member, watch your mailboxes for those to arrive in the next week as well. I am sorry that it's taken so long, but there's only one of me and only so many hours. So. And there are certain parts of accessing the database I'm just not all that great about. So our new assistant has been a really big help. So getting back on track with some of that.
Cool.
Yeah. Other than that, I think that's about it.
Okay. Comments, suggestions for topics, use your pens. Write to us at Anderson Pens, P.O., Box 732, Appleton, Wisconsin, 54912.
Or catch us online at...
Email brian@andersonpens.net.
Or lisa@andersonpens.net.
We are on Twitter, twitter.com/AndersonPens.
We're also on Facebook, facebook.com/AndersonPens.
On the web, of course, andersonpens.net.
And the blog is at andersonpens.net/blog.
Join the mailing list for advance notice of upcoming events or pre-orders. Thanks for listening to our podcast. See you next week.
Bye-bye.
Bye.